is your house. We are your people. Pray you would speak to us, minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So next week, Pastor Brian, Marina, myself, and what is that lady's name? Margaret and her brother. We are going to the convention in the U.S., so please pray for us. And I was just thinking, when we are gone, what would be a good thought to speak on? And I was thinking about this one thought, about personal relationships. And I think this is really important. It is very important for us to understand this theme. We know it, but I want to emphasize it about personal relationship. And firstly, we see, and this is really important, we see the life of Jesus. And when we look at the life of Jesus on the earth, we see clearly his relationship with his Father. We see always, like in Luke 2, verse 49, he is 12 years old, he is lost, his parents go. And what does he say? Shouldn't I be about my Father's business? He's a 12-year-old boy. Then at the age of 30, he starts his ministry approximately. And this is very beautiful. He says, in John 4:34, this is what he says. He says this: my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Right? To do his will and to finish his work. It's there in John 5:30 also. Chapter 5, verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And in John 6:38, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. See, his motivation and his purpose was the Father's will. And then we also see that Jesus was always making sure that the Father would receive glory. Always making sure. We see that in John 7:18. We see this. He says this verse: he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. And then we see in John 8:49 and 50, we see where it says, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. That's very important. He was not seeking his own glory. He was not promoting himself or his own fame. He was seeking the Father's glory. And we see also that they said of him, this is what they said of him, in John 7:15 and 16, it says, they said of him, and the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Right? And in verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. Isn't that beautiful? That means he knew the scriptures. He was the word. And in Isaiah 50 verse 4, which is prophetic of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he wakeneth my ear morning by morning to hear as the learned. He openeth my ear and I was not disobedient. Isn't that beautiful? Then you also see that his prayer life in Mark 1:35, getting up early in the morning, he went to a deserted place and prayed. In Luke 5:16, he withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. In Luke 6:12, he prayed all night and then he chose his disciples. In Mark 6:46, he went to the mountain and prayed. In Luke 9:18, he was alone praying. And then we see in Luke 22:41 and 42, he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is the last, where he's saying, "Father, if it be possible, not my will, but thine be done." And we see, what do we see here? And that's really important. There was no sentimentality in his life. You know, in Matthew 12:46 to 50, his mother's come, his brother's come, and what does he say? "Who is my mother and who is my brother? But they that do the will of my Father in heaven." In John chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, he did not commit himself to any man because he knew what was in man, right? And then we see this unique thing. He's saying, in John 16:32, which is almost at the end, where he's saying this beautiful thing. "Indeed, the hour is coming and has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." And then at the betrayal, they all forsook him, and he was alone. Now, it's very interesting to note what he said on the cross when he was dying, right? He said on the cross this phrase, right? He says this phrase, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He is not saying, our God, right? My God. And then he says this phrase, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," right? And then when he is risen, he says in one place, "I have not ascended to my God and your God." And that's so beautiful. And what do we see here? This is what we see in Jesus' relationship with his Father. It began with this Father and it ended with this Father. That's beautiful, isn't it? In the middle, there were years of ministry and miracles and beautiful things, and there were ups and downs, but it began with his Father and he ended with the Father. That was personal relationship. And what do we see? And though we may speak about the cross as a very simple event, no, the Bible says he made choices for it on a daily basis. The Bible says he was tested at all points, but he chose not to sin, right? He made choices on a daily basis. And what kept him going is his relationship with the Father. That kept him going. And what did he achieve for us? He achieved for us propitiation. Romans 3 verse 25. And what is propitiation? This is what Scofield says. Propitiation is Christ completely satisfied the just demands of a holy God for judgment on sin by his death on the cross. It is satisfying the righteousness of a holy God, thereby making it possible for him to show mercy righteously. So when he ended and he died and he was buried, he achieved what? Propitiation for us. And like Pastor Sam was saying, how big is God? The blood of Jesus paid for all our sin, past, present, and future, for the whole world. Isn't that beautiful? And today, God can no longer be angry with your sin. When you believe in Jesus as your Savior, it's blotted out, and he looks at you and me as what? Righteous. Isn't that beautiful? When did it happen? When you believed in Jesus as your Savior. Now in the rap, Pastor Brian made an incredible statement, and I was thinking about it continuously. He said this, that for all other religions, they are working to get in. Are you understanding? But for us, the starting point is we are already in. Isn't that beautiful? Every other religion, they are working to get accepted by God. Our starting point is acceptance before God and the complete forgiveness of sin. Isn't that beautiful? Because of the propitiation of Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:2 says he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. So that is Jesus' relationship with his Father. The next point we come to is our relationship with Jesus. Right? And that's really beautiful, because 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Into. Right? And this is beautiful, that the Bible says we were chosen. In Ephesians 1 verse 4, we were chosen in him before the foundations of the world. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you that you may bear fruit and your fruit may remain. Then what do we see? We are personally known. What? We are? God is not saying, hey you, Greater Grace Fellowship, Bangalore. He's not saying that. He's calling us by name. John chapter 10:3. He calleth his sheep by name, and his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. John chapter 10 verse 27. We are unique. We are personally known. He has a personal plan for our lives. He has a personal plan for our lives. He has a personal calling for our lives. Isaiah 51 verse 2. Yea, look to your father, the rock you were hewed out. I called Abraham and I called him alone. It was a personal calling. And what else do we have? We have a personal cross. Luke 9 verse 23. Carry your cross daily and follow me. Then what else do we have? We have personal restoration. Have you ever thought, in the New Testament, you don't have to go come to the pastor or the pastors and confess your sin and kill an animal? Have you ever thought about that? You don't have to. You just do it directly before the Lord. You confess your sin and you are totally restored. And what else? We belong to him. You know, many times we think that God belongs to us. Actually, it's the other way around. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, don't you understand, you are not your own. We belong to him. Psalm 100 verse 3 and 4, it says, He is made us. He is the shepherd and we are the sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. Isn't that beautiful? And so we see, this is really very important in our lives. Now, what can we learn from this today? And this is important. And I want to, you know, give an illustration. When we were in Goa, somebody donated one old OHP machine. You know what's an OHP, right? You put the transparency, right? And it was really old, and we used to use it very carefully so that it wouldn't, you know, because it was outdated technology. And we used it for many years. Now, one fine day, the machine stopped working. This just happened before worship. So we opened it. We tried to change the bulb, tried to change the fuse. Nothing happened, right? And so I took it to this place where there was the only place in Goa which would fix it, like an old company. So I took it there. I took it to the engineer. I said, this is the problem. It's not working. Can you just open it and see? And he did something, and it started working. And then I said, okay, what was the problem? He says, no, there's no problem with the machine, sir. There's the problem with the cable. What? The problem is with the cable. I changed the cable, I put my cable, and it's working. That means the copper strand inside has broken, and that's why it's not working. And the thought which came to my mind is, sometimes our lives from the outside could be all set and all right, and people look at us and it's all correct. We are coming to church, we are doing the right thing, everything. But this inside thing is not happening. Why? Because we are internally disconnected. Are you understanding? Nobody can see from out and say you are internally disconnected. But maybe it is possible today that I am what? You and I, we are what? Internally disconnected. And the point I'm trying to make is, that the personal relationship with Christ is the basis and the foundation for everything in life. It is the basis and the foundation for family, for relationships, for stewardship, for service. And if the personal relationship with Christ is not happening, and like Pastor Sam said, I am not receiving on a daily basis, then though from the outside, though it may look all great, I will still be lacking inside. In application today, it's very important to understand, to be at a place where we are loved by the Lord. You know, many times we come to God with our own terms, right? Cain went to God with his own terms, correct? Right? This is the way I want you to love me. We have to be loved by God at his terms, which means it's purely by grace. There's no human merit which can make him do something for me. It's purely by grace. It's purely according to the word of God, right? It is not according to what I dictate. It's purely by grace. The second thing is, in the personal relationship, being led by him. The Son was led by the Father to the cross. We are what? Led by him in our lives. The third aspect is, and this is really important, is learning from him. Now, you and I today could be going through hell, and it's okay. It's not about the circumstance or the situation. It's about understanding, okay, Lord, or I could even be in sin, but the issue is, okay, Lord, what are you teaching me about yourself today? Are you understanding? Am I learning something? Have I learned something new about the Lord today? Learning. And when you look at this aspect of learning on a daily basis, then the Christian life becomes interesting. The Christian life becomes beautiful. I want to read the Bible. I want to come to church. I want to hear the word. It's not about what circumstance I am in. It's about God is going to teach me something today about himself. Right? Then the next aspect is knowing him. Philippians 3:10. Everything that happens in our life is for the purpose that we may know him. That's it. We may know him, not only theoretically, but experientially. And then we are satisfied by him. We are satisfied by him. We serve him. And then we enjoy him. We enjoy the Lord. You know, let us learn to enjoy the Lord. Many of us endure the Lord. We endure his plan. No, let's what? Enjoy the Lord. Now, this is really important. And this is very important. Sometimes in our lives as Christians, you know, we follow the Lord when everybody is following or when church is happening. But God will bring us to a point sometimes in our lives when we are all alone, because God wants to see, what have I understood about him? Right? Jesus was what? Alone. But it didn't matter that his disciples forsook him, because he was receiving strength from his Father. He loved his Father. He wanted to glorify the Father. The question we have to ask ourselves today in Matthew 6, do I want to be seen of men or do I want to be seen of God? You do your charitable deeds, Jesus is saying, you do it before men. You do your prayer, you do it before men. You do your fasting, you do it before men. Do I want to be seen of men or do I want to be seen of God? Do I want to receive glory from men? Oh, what a great person you are. Oh, you're an awesome guy. You're an awesome lady. Or do I want to receive glory from God and do things for his glory? Or do I want to please men? Or do I want to please God? I want to close with a story, and I'm sure that this will encourage you, that many people shifted this last week. And I was praying for them. And when you're a missionary, shifting becomes a lifestyle. In the last 16 years, I was counting, I've shifted 11 homes. Right? And then with every shift, the landowner gets bad, you know. And then all kinds of problems happen. And the landowner doesn't fix this and doesn't fix that and sits on your head, comes at the wrong time, wants to enter the house. So, you know, after some time you lose it and then you start praying, okay, Lord, that's enough. Now I want my own home. And guess what? In 2009, that happened. The eighth shift was my own home. Now I'm like really excited. It was worth waiting and praying. It looked impossible. It happened. Then we stayed for 2-3 years. Then we shifted out again. We got it, you know, renovated. Like, we did it. And I stayed 4 years. And then the Lord says, darling, it's time to move. And I'm like, God, we waited so long. We endured all this hardship to reach this impossible point. Now you say, go. Right? If I was staying in a rental place, it would have been easier to leave Goa. You know? But, you know, and then I came to Bangalore in a rental place. That was shift number 9. The shift number 10 was my own place, right? And then I started thinking, okay, so what is the funda? Is it about owning or not owning, right? And this is the thought which came to me. For a Christian, owning or not owning is in the head. For an unsaved person, it's a big thing to own a house. And I believe, and my prayer is that God would give you, each one of you, your own homes, according to the desires of your heart, and that'll be great, and nothing is impossible with him. But the point is this, and that's the thought which came to me, is this. It's not about owning your own home. It's about understanding who God is. And this is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7. In verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be those that have none. Those who weep as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and those who buy as though they did not possess. You know why it's saying this? It's saying this because there is an eternal fact in the Bible. You know what that eternal fact is? Jesus said in John 14, 1 to 3, I'm going to heaven. And in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And whether you have your own home or a rental place, in the rapture, you got to leave it. Right? Because this is not our eternal home. We are pilgrims and strangers here. In Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is from heaven. Imagine the church building happens and we get raptured. Unique, isn't it? It could happen. You know why God? You know what God is trying to tell us? And this is the thought which came to my mind. God is trying to tell us this. It's not about what I can do for you. It's about you understanding who I am. You know, many times we approach God based upon what he can do for me. And that is true. But it's just you understanding who I am. And if you and I, we understand who God is, we have everything. Are you understanding? Everything else is temporal. Everything else is passing away. The word of God is what? For? Ever. And you know what will keep you? It's your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy 4:17 and 18, Paul said, at my first defense, nobody was with me, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. In Acts chapter 7, the Bible says, you know, the brothers of Joseph moved with envy and they sold him, but God was with him. And guess what? Today, God is with us. He is in us. He is for us. In Romans 8:31, he that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? The biggest thing was to give the son. Everything else is small change. So in closing today, let's be encouraged. Right? Don't be afraid to take decisions of faith. If you fall, you fall before God in Romans 14:4. In Psalm 37 it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands. Take decision. You know, walk with the Lord. You know, in Psalm 62 it says, my expectation is from God. I have expectations from him, not from men and people. In Psalm 62:8, pour out your heart before him. He is a refuge for us. You know what we do? We blow up before everybody else. God is saying, do the pressure cooker effect to me. We can go before the Lord and cry and shout and scream and get it all out. It's not an issue with God. Amen? because it's about a personal relationship. And what remains in the end is the personal. Yes, you may forsake me, but I'm not alone. The Father is with me. And the application of that verse. Yes, I can be alone, maybe lonely, no problem. But the Lord Jesus Christ is with me. Amen? Yeah? So pray for us. Enjoy the Lord. Walk with Him. Right? Do things for Him. Not to be seen of men, appreciated of men, receive glory from men, but for the glory of God and the honor of God according to His will. Right? And see what God can do. And be satisfied. If you and I think there is something which has to happen or something which has to get and something, relationship or something that will make me happy and satisfied, you and I are totally wrong. Our satisfaction is only in the person and the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you, Lord. We worship you. Yes, as Pastor Sam said, you're a big God. You're a great God. You're a good God. Yes, Lord, you became a man. But today you're not a man. You're not like us. You are God. Yes, Lord. And there is none else. And help us, Lord, not to belittle you with our small thinking. Help us not to insult you by just making you a God of our needs. But help us to understand that you are the creator of the world. You are our savior. And you will, we are your children and we belong to you. And you will take care of us. And just to believe you and to trust you. And that whatever we need, you know before we ask. We thank you, Lord, this morning. Yes, Lord. Help us not to get petty. Help us not to cling to material things, Lord. Help us not to put anything before you. No relationship, no circumstance, no situation, no ambition, no personal desire before you, Lord. And help us to understand that you are all in all, Lord. You are the Alpha and the Omega. For of him and through him and unto him are all things. Yes, Lord. And may our lives be a sweet-smelling aroma unto you, we pray. In Jesus' name. Thank you.